Be'ez Hashem, we are now beginning our Parsha class, Parshas Miketz. It's right now Chov Vov Kislev Tov Shin Pei. It's tonight's the second day of Chanukah, and in the English calendar, it's December 23rd, 2019. Parshas Miketz is the second parsha that falls in line with the holiday of Chanukah. Let me explain what I mean to say. Parsha Vayeshev, last week's parsha, is the parsha where Yosef was kidnapped by his brothers and thrown into a pit. Then finally was sold as a slave, and from there he had a little bit of a break of maybe a few months until the Ashes Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar, got on his case, and she framed him with an accusation that he committed immorality, and therefore he was thrown into the pit for 12 years. It's the story of the Jew in Golus. Parshas Vayeshev is the Jew in Golus, and how Yosef was able to persevere. And in this week's parsha, Parshas Miketz, will discuss how Yosef miraculously ends up to not only be freed from his prison sentence and from the gulus that he lived for 12 years, but he actually becomes the viceroy of Mitzrayim. It's so comparable to the story of Chanukah, where the Jewish people lived in darkness, the darkness of the Greek culture, where the Greeks didn't allow the Jewish people to live as Jews. As I was taught, it was a war, not against the Jew, but it was the law of the Greeks against the Torah. They didn't want the Torah to exist. They didn't want a Jew to learn it. You can be a Jew but not observe. You can be a Jew and not fulfill its commandments. It was a war against the Torah. It was a very, very dark period in Jewish history. And in this dark period of Jewish history, there was a light, the light of Hanukkah, the miracle of Hanukkah, that little bit of light. We say a famous chazal, ma'at min ha'or docha harbe min ha'choshech, a little bit of light illuminates and chases away a tremendous amount of darkness. I always like to give the example, you ever have a little night light that's 7 watts, or a little nothing, and you put it in a room, and even though it's so small and doesn't illuminate much at all, but it at least lights up the room enough to show you where the bed is and where the couch is and where your dresser is and where things are, enough that you don't bump into it. A drop of light can chase away a tremendous amount of darkness. And imagine if you have a lot of light where the illumination is much, much more than a drop, then for sure it brings a tremendous amount of satisfaction and simcha. So Parshas Miketz is going to be the story of the Jew preparing for Golus, preparing for Mashiach, where Yosef is being liberated by miracle, of course. He maintained his emunah betochen for the last 2 years, being in the pit, in the prison, and miraculously he was taken out of the pit and became a viceroy. Before I get into the actual details of the story, I would like to just quote a pasuk in Tehillim, in Perek Samach Vav, and the pasuk is,
I think it goes through the entirety of Jewish history from the
Lechu ureu, come and see, mif'alos Elokim, the wonders of Hashem. Nora alila al bnei Adam. Awesome are the action to deeds of Hashem on bnei Adam. Look what you see from this parsha of Parshas Miketz, where you have a person who has been an eved, a slave, been in a prison for 12 years, and Hashem turns his whole future around and makes him the viceroy. These are wonders that only Hashem can do. And that's why I quoted a pasuk that refers to the wonders of Hashem that took place in Parshas Miketz.
There's an audio series.
One other point before we go into the story, and that is the Chofetz Chaim makes a very important comment. When the Torah talks about the story where Yosef was taken out of the pit, out of jail, the Torah says, "Vayishlach Paro v'yikra es Yosef." Paro sent for Yosef and called Yosef. Vayiritzuhu min habor, and the Torah stresses, and he was quickly rushed out of the pit. What's the Torah trying to tell us? He was quickly rushed out of the pit, because in Hashem's calendar, Hashem did not want Yosef, according to Hashem's calculations, to suffer another minute. In Hashem's calculations of where and how much Yosef should be punished and how much he should suffer for whatever averus he had committed, was up to the minute, when it had to be that Yosef had to leave the pit. There was not an extra second. He was chased out of the pit immediately. Says the Chofetz Chaim, this is exactly how it's going to appear in the time of Mashiach. When Mashiach will appear, when it's the time for his revelation, it would be so sudden, so quick, that not an extra minute will we be in Golis. Similar to the way Yosef was taken out of the pit of Egypt. And that's what we end up saying. Es tzemach tovet avdecha mehera satzmiach. Tzemach is the sprouting forth of Mashiach, the sprouting forth of David HaMelech. Es tzemach tovet avdecha mehera satzmiach. The same word mehera, and that's the Lashon. You say it all the time in Shemona Esrei. Let's read that carefully, because it's very important. It's how it's compared to what I'm just saying to you, how Yosef was taken. Let's read it again. Es tzemach David avdecha mehera satzmiach. And this, the offspring of the servant of David, your servant David, mehera satzmiach, will quickly, would speedily cause to flourish. Then not an extra second, when it's the time to come, it'll be on the moment, but speed, but would speedily happen. Not slowly, but speedily. Before your salvation, we hope to you every day. Baruch to Hashem, Matzmiach Keren Yeshua. Blessed are you, Hashem, who causes the pride of Yeshua to flourish.
Tzemach in Hebrew is sifting flour.
That's kemach.
Kemach
with a kuf. Okay, it's a good question. It's tzemach. Tzemach is referring to the offspring, the sudden, like the sprout forth. It's sudden. And therefore, I'm making that comparison of the bracha to what the Torah is telling us about Yosef. He was suddenly taken out, says the Chofetz Chaim. When it's our time to leave Golos, it'll be suddenly, just the way Yosef was taken out. Now this, what we just got to say right now, was just about my introduction to show us that Miketz is so apropos to the holiday of Hanukkah, where it talks about Yosef being brought out of the darkness into tremendous amount of light. The Jewish people who were in a tremendous amount of darkness were victorious, fighting against the Greeks, and they were now brought out in light. And this is so apropos to the parsha. Okay, now we can start the parsha. Parsha Miketz starts off with the dreams of Paro. That's also miraculous. Suddenly, when Yosef had to leave the pit, a dream comes suddenly. It's like almost a vision from Shemayim. And the vision or the dream came to Paro that caused this whole domino effect. Just to quickly review, the first dream was where Paro had dreamt seven healthy cows coming out of the Nile River, followed by seven lean cows, and the lean cows swallowed up the healthy, wholesome, rich-looking cows, and you couldn't even tell there was anything inside the stomachs of the lean cows. Paro woke up petrified. What does this all to mean? Then there were seven ears of corn or stalks of grain, however you like to translate it, and they were healthy, wholesome, wonderfully rich-looking stalks of grain that came out of the Nile, which again is only a dream. And behind it were seven battered, thin, worn-out stalks of grain that swallowed the seven good stalks. And he couldn't understand what this is all to mean. And he was troubled. He couldn't understand it. And the magicians, the chachamim, his advisors, couldn't make sense to Paro. Paro accepted none of their nonsense. And then only did the Sar Hamashkin, the wine butler, wake up, and he starts telling Paro about what he remembers when he was in the pit. So now we're going to read a few psukim. So let's go on the bottom of page 222. But that doesn't last very long. On Pasuk Tes. And this is captured in the book of Daniel. Hamashkim the Sar Hamashkim speaks, is speaking with Paro saying, Es chato'ai ani maskar hayom. My sin that I do remember today that I have been guilty years ago, because I've handed the king a goblet of wine with a fly in it. Paro kotzav al avodav. Paro got angry at his servants. Vayiten oisi b'mishma b'sar tabachim. I was put in prison in the house of the sar tabachim, the chief butcher. I and the chief baker. Next page. And we dreamt a dream in one night. Ani vuhu, I and he, ish kepisra chalom uchalamno. We dreamt a dream, and each of us dreamt the interpretation of the dream. And we didn't know what it meant. Vasham Itanu Nar Ivri. There was with us. Now he's putting down Yosef because he's afraid that maybe Yosef will be given some honor or respect. He starts with the following negative attributes. Na'ar, a foolish child. Ivri, he's a Hebrew, doesn't even speak the same language as us here in Egypt. Eved, he's a slave, and we have rules that slaves can't become anybody important. He's a slaveless tabachim to the officer of to the chief butcher. Vanisapelo, and we told him our dream. We were troubled by it. Vayiftalonu es chalamaseinu. And he interpreted our dream in Ishka Chalamu Pasa, each according to his dream he interpreted. And it happened just exactly the way he interpreted. When my dream he interpreted, I was put back on my station to serve you exactly how he interpreted. And he interpreted that the baker will be hung, and so it was he hung. Now let's go Pasuk Yud Dalet, please.
This is where the pasuk I
refer to from the Chafetz Chaim is now being mentioned in the pasuk, where history is being made with this pasuk. Vayishlach Parai, Parai sent for Yosef. Vayikra es Yosef, and he called Yosef. Vayiritzuhu min abor, and they hurried him out of the pit.
No, that's in Eretz Yisrael.
And he had his hair cut, because we could imagine not having a haircut in 12 years. And his garments were changed, because after all, they were dirty and inappropriate to go stand before the king. Vayavo al Paro, and now he came to Paro. Now all this seems to be insignificant, but all this is a reflection on how it's going to happen in time of Mashiach, when we are suddenly are going to experience this sudden change, like we said, Es Tzemach Dovet Avdecha Mehevev Satzmiach. This is the pasuk that alludes to it, that there's going to be a terrific rush and this commotion of getting everyone out of Golus. And just outside, let me repeat some of the story. And Paro retells the both dreams, and Yosef says, I am not going to interpret your dream. Hashem will. Hashem will tell Paro what the meaning of these two dreams are. And he goes and explains to them the seven cows that look wholesome, and the seven stalks that look rich and healthy. Those are 7 years of plenty. And the poor looking cows and the poor looking stalks are 7 years of famine. Why would it be that it swallowed up and you couldn't tell? Because with the famine will be so terrible, you won't be able to tell that there was 7 years of plenty. And then you'll ask them, why was the dream repeated once with the cows and the other time with the stalks? To tell you that the dream is right now prepared to begin tomorrow. It's going to happen. And he said, I want you to know that there is an important thing that you should take into consideration, that you are to assign a responsible person who is going to take charge of all of the surplus of food that's going to be grown in your country, so that it could be stored properly, so that you'll have the food in the time of famine. And not suffer, because if you don't have a proper person to be in charge who's capable and responsible, then you're going to put your entire country in danger. Paro hears that, and this is the dramatic turnabout, that besides he was rushed out of the pit, now is to turn to page 228, And here, history is further being made. Until now, he's now out of the pit, dressed with appropriate garments, having been washed and having been shaved. And now comes Vayitev Hadover Be'enei Paroi Uve'enei Chol Avodov. And this, the matter, the interpretation, and the advice that Yosef gave pleased Paro and all of his servants who are there around him. And he said, "Vayomer Paro el Avodov." And Paro said to his servant, "Hanimso chazay ish asheruach olekim bay. Is there another person who has the spirit of God in him?" Vayomer Paro el Yosef, "Achrei hodiu olekim ayischa es calls us after Hashem has revealed to you all of this interpretation, all of this knowledge, right? Ein avon vechacham kamocha. There is nobody as understandable, and nobody who is so capable of leading my country as you. No one is as wise and as capable as you. Atotia al beisi, you are going to be over my house or household, Balpicha Yishako Ami, and according to your word, your command, will my people be fed. Rakakise Egdal Mimeka, only my throne is the only thing that will be above you. Rav Yoimer Pari al Yosef Reina Satya Yisra, see, I am giving you, I'm placing you, I'll call Eretz Mitzrayim. Vayosa Pari, and Pari removes as Tabato his ring, I'm in Pasuk Membeis, page 228, Me'al Yadai from upon his hand, Vayitin Oysa al Yosef, he gives him the ring, right, put it on the hand of Yosef, Vayalbesh Yosef Bikta Shesh, he dresses him with linen clothing, Vayosim Revid Hazov Al Tzavarai, and goes ahead and he goes and he puts a golden necklace around his neck. Look what's now happening to this slave. He suddenly, few hours ago he was in a pit, and now Hashem made it. It's like we say in Purim, v'nahafachu, things turn upside down, v'nahafachu. This is also v'nahafachu. And now he's becoming the viceroy. But this goes back to what I told you, how wondrous are the deeds of Hashem, how we could never have foretold this in the future, looking at the bleak past of Yosef. But this is what's happening. Now comes another miraculous, unbelievable event, which again boggles the mind. He now rides him with the Merkever, the royal chariot, that he is, which is the second royal chariot, Asheloh, which belongs to him. Vayikru lefonav avrech. He makes announcement that he is an avrech. An avrech is like the young leader who is now going to lead the country. V'nos nosei al kol eretz Mitzrayim. And he commands his people that nobody else is to do anything without his permission. Now, at the time, everybody in this parade threw gifts at Yosef as he walked through, as he was ridden through the main streets of Mitzrayim. And one person who was anxious to throw something at him was Asnas, the daughter of Potiphar. She didn't have anything valuable to throw. Besides, Yosef had an enormously appealing appearance. He was unusually handsome because of what he did to his mother Rachel, if you remember. When Rachel was about to bow down to Esav, Yosef sprang in front of Yosef and his body covered the vision of Esav, that Esav couldn't really get a better look, a good look at Rachel, because she was extremely pretty, and he didn't want Esav to ever see his mother, and maybe even entertain taking her away. And because he did that heroic deed of jumping in front of his mother, he was blessed with the blessing of beauty and handsomeness that was unusual. And people would be climbing the walls in Egypt to get a glimpse of Yosef. In the meantime, people are throwing gifts at Yosef as he is going through the main road of Mitzrayim. And Asnas had nothing to throw except that charm she had around her neck. Now, I'm not sure if you were aware, but Asnas was really not the daughter of Potiphar. Asnas was an adopted daughter. Asnas was really the daughter of Dinah. Asnas was the child that was born by Shechem, having lived with Dinah, and that child that was born was going to be a shame to the family of Yaakov. They didn't know what to do. There was a question of killing her or not. They decided to send her to Mitzrayim and let her be adopted by some family. So she would be kind of lost in the shuffle in Egypt, adopted by some family. It wouldn't be a shame to the family of Yaakov, and she's gone. But Hashem has miraculous ways. Asnas goes ahead and throws, the only thing she has is that charm around her neck, and she throws it at him, and Yosef is catching this charm, this necklace, and as he has it, he opens it up. It's like a piece of like parchment. I'm assuming that's what it was, with the following letters on it.
And that continued on into the Greek
Hebrew letters. Asnas,
Herod, who came,
Bas Dina, Bas Yaakov. He is now aware that Asnas is his cousin.
Lavish structure.
So now, Right away, we have now, he knows that there is a Jew in Egypt that who he can marry. So now let's look at Pasuk Memhei. Vayikra Parei Shem Yosef, Sofnas Paneach. Parei gave Yosef another name called Sofnas Paneach. That means the one who reveals the hidden. He opens up the hidden things, which is what a hidden secret, that there was going to be a famine after 7 years of plenty. And Vayiten, this is the clincher. Vayiten layas Asnas bas Potiphera kohen oin leisha. He gives her Asnas, the daughter of Potiphera, the kohen oin, the priest of oin, for a wife.
Exactly.
Yosef al eretz Mitzrayim. Yosef now goes out on the land of Mitzrayim. So what do we see from over here? We see from over here an amazing thing. Hashem takes him out of the pit and puts him in front of Parei. Then he goes ahead and makes him a Mishnah Lamelech, makes him a viceroy over. And then he works out the Hashgacha that his wife is a Jew, it's his cousin who was banished from the family of Yaakov, because the incident of Shechem and Dinah took place that aggravated Yaakov and the entire family. But we see the hidden hand of Hashgacha, that here Yosef had whom to marry, And we know he ends up marrying Asnas bas Potipharah and having two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Ephraim and Manasseh, we know later, were the two chosen children that Yaakov later blessed. And we say, Yisimcha Lekim Ka Ephraim Ka Manasseh. May Hashem place you.
And then the Greeks come and they actually...
As the bracha that all Jewish people bless their children, Yisimcha Lekim Ka Ephraim Ka Manasseh. Which is something unbelievable. And look at this whole story. Would we have thought that this incident of Shechem, where Shechem raped Dina, and the relationship was a terrible thing that happened to the family. But the end of the story, as one said, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And here what happened? The child that was born from Dina later became the wife of Yosef, which means that Yosef had a five of Manasseh from a Jewish child, from a Jewish mother, which is incredible. So this is one aspect of the parasha we see over here, how all of these events take place, and this is the beginning of a very light, a bright, and a life of light and happiness for Yosef, where he's out of the pit, he's a king over the land of Mitzrayim, gets married to his cousin, and he's going to have two sons. This is the epitome of bracha, epitome of hatzlacha, of a bright future. This is the epitome of a bright future. In the meantime, after all have said, after all is this, then we have another thing that we have to deal with. The next thing we're going to deal with, which is also a reflection to how we are going to have to deal with ourselves living in Golus. And that is, Yosef has a master plan of getting his brothers to be in Egypt and wanting them to do tshuva. Because
because of what they did,
what they did to him. So I just like, this is like part one of the parasha. You see that the story of Hanukkah and Miketz are all packaged. The miracle of Hanukkah light is taking us out of the darkness, and we see Hashem's hand. Here we see Hashem's hand with the story of Yosef being taken out of the pit. And it's so relevant to the story of Hanukkah. But now going further in the story of Miketz, Yosef is now planning a master plan to get his brothers to Egypt and to have them do tshuva. The plan is that when the 7 years of famine arrive, we know that the nations all around are also going to be suffering from the famine. But they were not preparing themselves for food because they had no knowledge that there was going to be a famine. Yosef had stocked his stockpiles of food, and now from all of the Mideast started to come to Egypt to buy food because they heard that there's food in Egypt. At that point, Yosef assigned all of the people who took care of the gates of Egypt to start giving, recording the names of everybody that appeared, everybody that's kind of come to buy. And at the end of the day, he will look over the notes. And after, I would say, several weeks, he sees from one gate is Reuven ben Yaakov, then Shimon ben Yaakov. There are 10 gates, 10 ways to get into Egypt.
right?
And each gate had a different name, a different shevet. Shimon ben Yaakov, Levi ben Yaakov, Yehuda ben Yaakov, and so went all of the 10 Shvatim. He quickly told his servant, lock the gates. And I want to see these 10 people. They finally got the 10 people together.
So that this could become the new
and he
the known world.
Met them and asked them in a stern way. Remember, he's trying to get them to do tshuva.
So,
why did you go through these 10 gates? I see you're all brothers.
By the way, this whole episode,
that's true. 10 gates? I mean, you're coming to spy out the land. Why couldn't you go through one gate? So they try to explain that we lost a brother. We don't know if he's here in Egypt. Remember, the brothers are talking to Yosef without knowing that this is Yosef they're speaking to. And we wanted to see if we can somehow spot him. I don't accept that nonsense. And he says, no, you're spies. And they were put into prison for 3 days. Now, in their report of who they were, they said there's Yaakov, they have an older man who's at home, and there is a child by the name of Binyamin. Yosef, they didn't want to say that. They said that he disappeared. We don't know where he is. We're looking for him. And Binyamin is home. So Yosef says, okay, this is an opportunity to get them to do tshuva here. Okay, it says, you are not leaving. I'm going to first put you all in jail for 3 days. I claim you're spies. After the 3 days, he took him out of the jail. He says, you know what? I thought about it. So if you claim you have a brother in Egypt, I mean in Canaan, I want you to bring him here. But I'm going to take one of your brothers as security. And he took Shimon, the one who planned to kill him. And according to a medrash that I heard, Shimon was the brother who pushed him into the pit. So he wanted to separate Shimon from Levi because he knew Shimon and Levi are a dangerous pair. So he had servants take Shimon and lock him up. And he locked them up, Shimon, in front of the brothers, and others he sent. And as they sent, he told the servants, put their money in their bags, that they should get nervous that they didn't pay for their grain. And so what happened, they went, and they had to spend the night. They had to spend the night at a inn. And when they took their bags and opened it up to feed their donkeys, and each one saw their money, and of course they were petrified. And here we're going to be not only we're going to have to bring our brother. Now we're going to be accused of being robbers, thieves, and that only further got them much, much more nervous. The story continues on where the brothers ended up coming to the father, explained that Yosef, which they didn't know was Yosef, dealt with them very harshly. What should we do? We have to bring Binyamin back, otherwise we won't be able to buy food. They said, you cannot come back without Binyamin. And at that point, Yaakov was extremely angry at them for all of the events that took place. And months passed by, and Yaakov at that moment didn't remember that he had to send Binyamin, and they said that we can't go to get any more supplies, no more provisions unless we send Binyamin, send Binyamin with us, and finally they sent Binyamin. And one thing led to the other. So finally Binyamin ended up coming, and Binyamin was recognized by the brothers. By Yosef, Binyamin, and he made it even more difficult to whittle out of this. You know why? Because at this point, he set them up around the table because they came now to dine with Yosef, and he took his cup, making it appear that it's magical, and he took his cup and he gave the cup a bang, and he said, "You, you're Reuven. Reuven, you're the oldest one. You sit over here." And he banged his cup again. "You're Shimon." And that was also very, very astonishing. How did he know who is Reuven? How did he know their age? He put them all their age. He says, "This is my magic cup." And then he got to Binyamin and says, "You don't have a mother, and I don't have a mother. You sit next to me." Of course, Binyamin and Yosef were brothers, and Rachel died in childbirth. And therefore, Binyamin was without a mother. And that's how it was. So at that point, look, it's going to be a very interesting roller coaster ride. Because now they got to be very friendly with Yosef. And they enjoyed the dinner. And then he said, "Now send them back." But he told the servant, "Take my cup and put it into Yosef's bag. And put their money back as well."
Benjamin.
Huh?
In Benjamin's bag.
Everyone's money. Put the cup in Benjamin's bag, and everyone's money put back again. Get more nervous. And I want you to then, as they leave, chase after them and accuse them of stealing the cup, and don't start from Binyamin. You finish with Binyamin, and you start with Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and accuse them of stealing. And he did this so that they would say that they have sinned, and we should have done tshuva. And let us turn to that part, which I would like you to. So go to Perek Mem Beis Pasig Zayim. Perek Mem Beis Pasig Zayim. Here it says, "Vaya Yosef es Echa Vayakirem." He recognized them. "Vayisnaka Aleim," and he appeared to be strange to them. "Vayadabi Itam Koshos." He spoke to them very strictly, and this is the process where he wanted them to start doing tshuva. And right, as he threw them in prison after accusing them for being spies, here the Pasuk would say the following.
Right, many different gods, right? And each one that was the god of this.
Look at page 236.
Right? It's more like a mob boss.
Pasuk Chaf Aleph. "Vayoynu ish el Achiv. Aval Hashem emanachnu, we are guilty. Alachinu, on our brother. Asheri'inu tzoras nafshol, we saw the tzora, we saw him with his anguish, and he was pleading. B'schananu eleinu, he was pleading with us not to throw him into the pit. V'lo shamanu, and we didn't listen. Al kein bo eleinu atzorasais, for this reason this tzora came upon us." Here is now beginning the moment of tshuva. And this again is the beginning of the feeling of tshuva, and this is what he wanted them to experience. And of course this is before Binyamin came, but then it happened when Binyamin was accused. When Binyamin was accused for stealing, which he didn't steal the cup, and they saw that they were really in trouble, because they knew if Binyamin wouldn't come home, then Yaakov would pass away, right? So they really got to see that they were guilty of something, and that they had to do tshuva on the Avera. Okay, we are going to stop over here, okay? And the bottom line is that Yosef, that's a symbol of the Jewish people going out of Golis into Geula, has to have that ingredient of tshuva to take place. And therefore, just like Yosef tried to get the brother to do tshuva, in order for them to be worthy, right, of a kapara, we, in order to leave Golis, also have to go through the experience of tshuva. And through that, we will be zeichet to a geula. May we have a wonderful week of Hanukkah, and we should enjoy the holiday with ourselves and with our mishpachas. Have a wonderful week.